It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Ben Woods back with you, 7 a.m. on a Friday. And while, yes, the Padres were fortunate in that O'Neill Cruz threw that ball away and they ended up scoring the go-ahead runs, they were also very... I mean, it was putting together that rally and loading the bases against David Bednar in the ninth inning was good work. Yeah, Xander got a little dribbler, which was lucky, but Jackson Merrill's at-bat was the one that really impressed me.
Staggering.
Knowing he had just hit a home run off that guy the day before.
Yeah.
And being a 21-year-old rookie, I can imagine the instinct would be, all right, I'm going to come and do it again. Guess what? I'm going to go ahead and run. There's a guy on in front of me. I'm going to put another good swing on this, and I'm going to hit another home run. And it was chess because David Bednar, an all-star reliever, is out there going, all right, he got me yesterday.
Not this guy.
He's going to be aggressive here. So I'm going to try to throw some balls just off the zone. Maybe he was missing, but I kind of tend to think he was being careful with Jackson Merrill.
He absolutely was being careful with him.
Assuming that a young 21-year-old is going to be overly aggressive in that situation.
Expand the zone, all of it.
And one of the most mature at-bats you're ever going to see from a guy that age, just spitting on, you know what, those aren't my pitches.
Not my pitch.
I'm not going to swing at those.
Yep.
And there were some borderline ones that he, you know, Bednar didn't get the call on and wouldn't have wanted to see Jackson Merrill try to hit one on the outside corner, you know, up at the letters in that situation. Those are the pitches you're supposed to take. He took his walk, and ultimately he ended up scoring the go-ahead run
because
he took a four-pitch walk when he was supposed to do that in the ninth inning.
I don't know that we fully understand it either, but I don't know that the common fan in that situation knowing, yeah, I barreled this guy yesterday. If he throws me a heater in the zone, I'm going to attack it. And maybe even if it's just a little bit up, maybe I can still get to it. For him to be able to go in and just go, no. No, no. His heartbeat, Ben, must be like 60 beats a minute. I mean, it just doesn't really happen for a rookie at this pace that it's happened for Jackson Merrill. I'm just so impressed every time I watch him play baseball. The way he backs up the outfielders, the way that he throws the ball, the way that he gets to balls, the way that he hits and takes his singles and still has power, and it is pretty remarkable to watch that kid.
He's up to a .289 average and a .787 OPS, which is very impressive as a rookie. The one thing that he could do a little more of, I mean, the OBP is .320.
Yeah.
A little more walks like we just saw,
sure.
But I feel like that's going to come.
That will come.
You know, rookies generally, the OBP is the thing they're going to struggle with the most their first season. Everybody's a little over-aggressive, but you're seeing that patience. You're seeing the development just right in front of our eyes with Jackson Merrill. It's so impressive what he's doing.
Again, I've had a lot of people ask me, you know, cronies struggling a little bit right now. I've had a lot of people ask me, why not flip-flop them in the order? Look, it's hard to mess with 14 out of 16. It just is. Yes, that's something that I think if you're the skipper, you think about if you're AJ Preller and your holistic approach with the lineup. I think you maybe think about it someday. I don't know that that day is today. I don't know when it is. But yeah, like it makes sense. It makes sense in my head, but we're not playing MLB The Show here. He has a spot. He's pretty consistent in it. You need balance throughout the lineup as well. And I just, I don't know. I don't know why they wouldn't move him up in the order. But right now, like I said, it's hard to argue with 14 out of 16.
Well, he's kind of the anchor of the bottom of the order, which has been very productive.
They've been great.
Now, you could do that and move him up. But then all of a sudden, with Kim, who's also been struggling, now you kind of have a bit of a black hole in part of your lineup.
If you get, let's say you just flip-flop Crony and Merrill, the two lefties.
Yeah.
Right? Merrill slides into the three hole, and Crony goes down to the six, seven, whatever. It's not the worst idea I've ever heard. Cronenworth probably wouldn't care. You know, it's one of those things where it's like, I think that he could do it. I think we all know he could do it. I don't think he really cares where he hits. And you know, maybe that's something to think about down the stretch, Benny, or you know, in a playoff game if you get there. But right now, man, 14 out of 16, it's hard to nitpick things about this team.
I also feel comfortable saying Jake Cronenworth's going to have a few more big hits for this team going forward.
100%.
And if today was Jake Cronenworth's day, we just said it's bouncing around to everyone.
Everybody.
Wouldn't shock me. I'm a little worried about Ha-Sung Kim and his struggles at the plate, which seem fairly pronounced. He gets his walks, which is good. But other than that, I'm just not seeing great at-bats from Ha-Sung Kim lately.
Yeah, I mean, same. Listen, it is what it is. These are the cards that were dealt at this point. And right now, you know, they're hitting a lot more blackjacks than they are anything else. So,
one other observation before I get to it, I want to throw out the phone lines for Take on Woods. We're going to play here in about 4 minutes. 833-288-0973. Chance to win a trip to Las Vegas and Carrie Underwood tickets. Give us a call now. 833-288-0973 and challenge Woods in your musical trivia game for the day coming up here. So I heard Chris Ella talking about this, and I had the exact same thought. So the Padres get their three runs in the top of the ninth inning, and that insurance run, the RBI by Luis Arraez, was huge, obviously.
Massive.
When Robert Suarez comes in and gives up the run. Now, there was one of the dumbest baseball decisions I've seen in a long time by the Pittsburgh Pirates and Joey Bart in that ninth inning when he tried to stretch a single to a double.
Oh, yeah.
And you're down by two runs.
Yep.
If I'm Derek Shelton, the manager of the Pirates.
You could see it.
Livid.
Dude.
Livid. He could have been easily out. Had that ball been held on to at second base, he would have been out. The game would have been over for no reason whatsoever.
Right.
Because his run doesn't mean anything. You're down by two. Two-run homer to tie it. You can score at first just as well as you can from second. And by the way, the Padres probably would have just let him take second on defensive indifference on the next play.
100% they would have.
And yet he put himself in jeopardy. It really is shocking that even a young Major League Baseball player like Joey Bart couldn't read that situation and go, unless I'm 115% sure I'm going to make it, you don't go to second in that situation.
What do you think about the O'Neill Cruz throw? Because I watched it too, and I
thought originally that Higashioka was going to beat it out because it was hit so slowly.
O'Neill
Cruz has such a cannon. The ball got there before Higashioka. I think had it been on target, the game's over. So you got to try to win the game there.
That's fair.
I think you don't. You say, he should have just held on to it and kept the tie game and had a chance to win it in the bottom of the ninth. You get one more out, but I think you go for it there with that kind of arm. He just didn't execute. You're a big leaguer, you got to execute that throw.
Yeah, he's got 22 errors. He's still kind of learning the game at that level. I mean, he's pretty interesting player. 6'7" shortstop with crazy power and a hose for an arm. He's a fun player to watch. But yeah, I'm really glad he threw that one away yesterday.
So Padres will visit the Miami Marlins tonight, and it was announced after the game. They'll just remain on rotation turn going through this series with Martin Perez today, Matt Waldron tomorrow, and then Dylan Cease on Sunday in his normal spot, even though he only threw an inning because of the rain delay in his last outing, which likely means Joe Musgrove will return from the injured list, I would think, Monday, against the Pirates back home at Petco Park. So that wasn't officially announced, but the turn, the next three, just normal. There's a lot of TBAs for having absolutely no changes to your starting rotation on this road trip. They've just gone through like they have normally gone through, at least until this point, going through the Miami series. That is a 4:10 first pitch today. Sammy with the Eco Water SoCal pregame show at 3:10. Edward Cabrera, right-hander, going to be on the mound for the Marlins tonight in game one of that series. All right, I see some callers on the line. Let's get to it. It is time to take on Woods.
It's time for Take on Woods.
Take on Woods.
Randomly, I'm going to go with John. John, welcome to Take on Woods. How are you?
Hello. Good morning.
Good morning. Take on Woods brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. It only takes 15 minutes. You don't have to get out of your car. For directions and discounts, go to SoCalOilChange.com. That's SoCalOilChange.com. All right. We have three categories for you to choose from. If you can beat or tie Woods, you'll be in our grand prize drawing for two nights at Resorts World Las Vegas, pretty spectacular resort, and two tickets to Carrie Underwood, her residency at Resorts World Theater, August 14th through October 26th. Tickets are on sale now at AXS.com and RWLasVegas.com. Here are your categories, John. We've got The Afterlife, five song titles and artists, including the word after. Sprechen Sie Deutsch, five bands or artists who made it big around the world with German roots or Germany kind of related. And then Still Dreaming, five more song titles that include the word dream. We had one of those earlier this week. So The Afterlife, Sprechen Sie Deutsch, or Still Dreaming. John?
Try Still Dreaming.
Still Dreaming. All right. Five more song titles. Again, all including the word dream. You'll have 60 seconds to get as many as possible. And then Woods goes, if you beat or tie him, you're in the drawing. First question is the 2-second song. Adam has a little music to play for you. You need to give me the title of the song and the artist to score that point. John, are you ready to play?
I'm ready.
Adam, you're good? All right. Remember, the category is Still Dreaming. Dream, the key word here. Your time begins when Adam plays the music. Good luck, John. Let's take on Woods. Correct. Tom Petty references the Del Shannon song Runaway in the lyrics.
Running on a dream.
Correct. Which 2004 Green Day hit begins with the line, I walk a lonely road, the only one I have ever known.
Pass.
The music video for which 1988 Billy Ocean hit was considered cutting edge at the time for its mix of animation.
Caribbean Dream.
Incorrect. A former member of the Edgar Winter Group, Dan Hartman, had his only top 10 solo hit
I
with
can
his
dream about you.
Correct. Which 2004 Green Day hit begins with the line, I walk a lonely road, the only one I have ever known.
Can we go to the one I missed?
No, you already missed it, unfortunately. Oh. It's like Jeopardy. Oh, okay. You don't get a second bite at the apple. You know what you did wrong. I know you did.
Yeah.
Sorry, you got three. Any guesses on Green Day?
No.
All right.
I don't know if it's titles in the...
That's all right. A little newer one. Yeah, you said Caribbean Dream. It's Caribbean Queen. It's Get Out of My Dreams, Get Into My Car is the Billy Ocean song I was looking for. Boulevard of Broken Dreams is Green Day. You got the other ones. Dreamweaver, Running Down a Dream, I Can Dream About You. Let's hold on, John, and we'll see if Woods can come back with the score of 3 to beat here. All right, Woods, John's score is locked in. Woods doesn't get the category, makes it a little bit tougher for him. See how he does on this one. Let's put 60 seconds back on the clock. Woods, your time begins when Adam plays the music. Good luck. Let's take on John.
Dreamweaver. By Gary somebody. I'll come back.
All right. Tom Petty references the Del Shannon song Runaway in the lyrics to which signature song from his first solo album in 1989?
Runaway. Pass.
Which 2004 Green Day hit begins with the line, I walk a lonely road, the only one I have ever known?
I'm blanking right now. I'm choking so hard. I'm on Boulevard of Broken Dreams.
Correct. The music video for which 1988 Billy Ocean hit was considered cutting edge at the time for its mix of animation and live action.
Get Out of My Dreams, Get Into My Car.
Correct. A former member of the Edgar Winter Group, Dan Hartman, had his only top 10 solo hit with his 1984 song for the movie Streets of Fire.
Ooh. Pass.
All right, go back to the 2 second song. You need the artist.
I don't know. Pass. Gary Taint.
Tom Petty references Del Shannon song Runaway and the lyrics to which signature song from his first solo album in 1980.
Running Down a Dream.
Correct. Let's go back to a former member of the Edgar Winter Group. Dan Hartman had his only top 10 solo hit with which 1984 song for the movie Streets of Fire?
No idea.
All right, that's a tie. That's 3-3. Congratulations, whoa, John.
Gary.
It's not wrong.
Gary.
Not wrong.
Gary Wright.
Gary Wright.
Damn it.
Oh, yeah!
All right, good job, John. And then the last one was I Can Dream About You.
I Can Dream About You. I thought that was John Parr.
Apparently it's Dan Hartman. So, John, hang on the line. Adam will get your information for the drawing for Las Vegas. Congratulations on still dreaming.
Good job.
Good job today. All right, Don't Do This is coming up next.
I've got a Do This that we missed yesterday that made me so very, very
happy. It
was
a good moment from the Padres broadcast this week that Woodsy would like to highlight.
I listened to it 100 times. It actually made its way to Reddit yesterday. It's so good. We'll play that for you next. You have a Don't Do This?
Yeah, I'll figure it out for you. Don't worry. I've got a depressing story that I would like to maybe not do.
No.
So.
All right.
We'll just see what we end up with. After traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Don't do this.
It's time for Don't Do This.
What were you thinking?
3 stories from the world of sports that make us all shake our heads.
Why?
How many times do I have to tell you?
Ugh, I'm sorry, I fudged up, guys.
You idiot. You moron.
You dumbass.
The apple sometimes does far fall from the tree.
Don't do this.
Do not tweet that.
With Ben and Woods.
I like a Nickelback song or two.
On 97.3 The Fan.
Don't Do This, brought to you by the Kraft Taco in Sorrento Valley. I am so jealous that Paulie got to go this week. It looked delicious. He posted it on the Instagram feed of his fish taco, the Dorado fish taco, and the bulgogi taco that he had. Check out those tacos at thecrafttaco.com. Look at their happy hour specials today at thecrafttaco.com. All right.
I'll get us started.
You want to get started with the audio from the pot? We have that?
Yeah. Okay. So I'm going to get us started and Don't Do This. Got a tweet from one of our tier ones, El Carlos, the real El Carlos on Twitter. Pirates broadcast casually calling Jerickson Profar unprofessional. So as we mentioned earlier in the show, Randy Vasquez came out and hit Brian Reynolds on the calf. It was calf or thigh?
Thigh, like, I would say.
Yeah, it was kind of
just
side,
above the
just
knee.
Below the knee. I just watched it.
Was it below the knee?
Right below the knee, so kind of on the calf after Jerickson Profar had been plunked a couple times in that series. Ended up getting plunked 4 times. Listen to how the Pirates broadcasters spun this one.
Right at the knee.
Yep.
Retaliation.
The same spot.
Yep.
Wow, hit, man, almost exactly the same spot as yesterday.
Reynolds doesn't react at all.
He did. Nothing. Yeah, he did.
Well, he looks out there.
He looks out and gave him a little head nod. Yep. Like, okay, we're even now.
Yep. Didn't throw the helmet. Didn't jump up and down. Didn't go far.
Walked down the line. In fact, he walked over, picked up the ball, gave it to the bat boy. So here you go.
That's a pro.
That's Reynolds right there.
Settle.
That's what he does. He's just...
Settle down, guys. Settle down with the... That's how a pro does it. That's what a pro does. I think Jerks and Profar took 95 basically to, like, the patella. There was no meat involved in that one that he took. When he took 95 to the knee, I think that was probably the most... I really don't think he was mad at the pitcher. He's mad at the pain. And threw the helmet like, son of a bitch, this hurts, right? And again, yeah, Brian Reynolds probably knew that was coming. I thought it was done in a really the right way to do it, I guess. But I didn't really like them kind of roundabout taking shots at Profar, not, you know, calling him not a professional.
Well,
the guy
dotted. They didn't say it, but they implied it. If you couldn't see the video, you're not on our YouTube stream. When they're talking, then they just casually cut to Jerks and Profar in the outfield, kind of implying what they're saying. Brian Reynolds did handle it.
He
did. There's no doubt about that. But so did Jerks and Profar.
Absolutely.
He got hit again. What did he do?
He smiled.
He smiled. That's all he did.
That's it.
A wry smile. Like, are you guys kidding me?
Yeah.
Four times in this series you've hit me?
Four.
But if anyone wants to, I mean, it was pretty clear. Randy Vasquez, and we're not sure about any other instances this season, but that one, knowing that Brian Reynolds is their two-hitter, just like Jerks and Profar is the Padres two-hitter, put it right in the same spot. I mean, like, dotted him in almost, as they said, the exact same spot.
It was like a dart. It was like throwing
there was. It wasn't the lead off the inning. It was one out, so you weren't, like, putting the leadoff runner on. It was a message, and it was a message sent, received, and they did move on. Now, Profar got hit again.
He did.
That one was kind of a backfoot slider type thing. That was just like, okay, this is almost comical at this point.
Well, and just quickly, this is pretty amazing. You know, Schilt said after the game, they're pitching him tough. We don't feel like there's a lot of intent, but it gets old after a while. He took exception with it, as I did as well. But anyway, we move on. He's a tough hombre. But I loved what Randy Vasquez said. He said, it's a beautiful relationship, a beautiful friendship that we have. He is someone that since I got here, he's always encouraged me, helped me, and really kind of encouraged me to never hang my head. He's a great teammate, and I promise you, Jerks and Profar certainly appreciated that from Randy Vasquez yesterday.
All right, we're getting late in the Olympics, and you know, after a couple of weeks, there's just enough opportunities for people to get into trouble. This one happened in Paris, not with an athlete this time, just a spectator. A famous spectator, rapper Travis Scott, was at the luxury George V Hotel early Friday morning when police were called to break up a fight.
Ooh.
The fight was between Travis Scott and, I guess it was a hotel security guard, but apparently, according to police, the security guard was trying to break up another fight between Travis and his own bodyguard, who had gotten into a fight at the hotel as well. So now Travis Scott is fighting two security guards, and this all comes just as charges were dropped against Travis Scott in another case in Miami for getting into a heated argument with a yacht worker back in June. So now he's facing charges in Paris, just the ugly Americans in Paris, a couple of incidents during the Olympics. I'm pretty much ready for it to be done.
Yeah, me too.
Got the gold medal games in basketball and soccer coming up, a couple more big track and field events. Had the big story about Noah Lyles and the COVID, running with COVID, and getting the bronze medal yesterday. 2 weeks is a long time for me. I'm good. It was fun. Let's move on.
Yeah, I'm ready. When is it then?
Sunday is the closing ceremony.
All right. We'll look forward to that, Greg. All right, and then now for Do This.
That's your D.D. Mega.
No.
D.D. Mega Doo-Doo.
Wasn't sure.
I got to give this to Don Orsillo. Watching this game, I forgot to mention it yesterday. It made its way over to Reddit. Don Orsillo makes a lot of great calls. This one got me laughing so hard. Mudd as well. You guys probably know the play from a couple of nights ago. Gonzalez on the mound for the Pirates and Manny Machado at the plate. Manny hits that little squibber, and Gonzalez tries to make a play on it, and this kind of slipped out from Don Orsillo.
Roll down the third baseline. The pitcher, Gonzalez, little stumble. His throw is terrible. It's right at first.
And Manny will reach.
That was an honest assessment. It's not good.
I was trying to. Why was it so funny? Because it was a terrible throw. It's just honest.
So
but
good.
Usually he'd say the throw is offline. Throw's offline.
The throw is terrible. Play it again, please, Adam. Please.
It's not like it was the easiest play to make, obviously.
No.
He was falling away and, you know, trying to make an insane play, but it was just so far away from being anywhere near the first baseman that Don had. I mean, he had to point it out. Play it again, please. Here it comes.
Roll down the third baseline. The pitcher, Gonzalez, little stumble. His throw is terrible. And Manny will reach.
Mud's over.
That was an honest assessment. It's not good.
He got me so good, man. Yeah, he always gets me, but that one, for some reason, just sent me.
So you're probably wondering, well, why don't we hear more of that from broadcasters? Just some brutal honesty. Because I'm sure Don's worried, even for an opposing team.
Of course.
That the player's going to hear it. Then he's going to go down in a locker room one day and they go, hey, heard you said I made a terrible throw. And it's like, well, you did, dude. I mean, it was a terrible
buddy,
throw.
I think you could defend that. Mudd said that he had an interaction with Kyle Higashioka the other day in the lobby. He said, Higgy, I owe you an apology. And Higgy, why? What happened? And he said, I think he said he boxed the ball.
The knuckleballs from Matt Waldron. It's just he was having a really tough day catching him the other day. And he was like, it's fine.
He's like, bro, I don't care.
It's tough. It does look comical when he's trying to catch those knuckleballs and just waving his mitt back there with no idea where it's going.
But, I mean, you can totally tell that kind of slipped out from Don Orsillo, and it was really, really good. That is Don't and Do This on a Friday.
That I just was said Don't that. Do This with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
It was Ben v. Dodgers fans last night on social media. I try not to wade into it. But
nice that the shoe was on the other foot.
Waded into it this time. We'll talk about that. We also have some Padres Pirates tickets to give away before the end of the show. For Monday's game, stay tuned for that. And Jake Mintz from Cespedes Family Barbecue at the top of the hour. A busy Friday, all leading to our manager's report with Mike Schild at 9 o'clock ahead with Bennett Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
I wish a very happy birthday to one of our most loyal and dedicated Tier 1s. He goes by Articulate Sailor on Twitter. You may remember him if you played in the Bennett Woods Open this year. He flipped a golf cart, so he's the guy that flipped the golf cart. You knew about that, yeah?
Yes, I did. I was trying to keep it as much under wraps as possible because, you know, I'm going out to the GOAT
today,
and I don't really want that getting around that one of our Tier 1s flipped one of their brand new golf carts.
Yeah, it was an accident.
Got the GPS and everything. The coolers, really nice.
Accidents happen. It was not a drunken display yet. Later in the day it was, but when he flipped the cart, he was stone cold sober, I can vouch. It just caught a curb and flipped over. But happy birthday to Articulate Sailor.
Happens to share a birthday with a member of the Padres organization.
Sure does.
But maybe we'll just keep that under wraps for a little while.
You don't have to. You can just say it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Our 9 a.m. guest, manager Mike Schild, is also celebrating a birthday today.
Happy birthday.
How old is Mike Schild?
It's a great question. Is he older or younger? Okay, he's older than me and us. Well, I'm older than you now.
Well, I knew he was older than us.
51. 56.
56 today.
Okay.
Yeah, 56 today.
Happy 56. I have heard through the grapevine he's not a huge birthday guy. Which doesn't surprise me a lot. And actually what I heard was he really likes other people's birthdays more. So he's the opposite of my wife.
He's like Boomer Esiason that way.
Loves other people's birthdays. So happy birthday to the skipper.
All right. Well, I waded into territory I probably shouldn't have waded into last night.
Well, hang on here. Cole Schmidt. Happy birthday to you, Cole. Happy birthday, EST3, in the chat. All right, there we go. Got all the birthday shout-outs done.
All the August 9th birthdays in the world now taken care of. I waded into Dodgers Twitter last night. It's not a pretty place to be. But just felt I had to do it. I'll tell you why coming up right after this check of traffic on 73 The Fan. So I saw this tweet going around from a Dodger fan named Jake, and he's not, you know, doesn't have a ton of followers, but it was retweeted a couple of times and made its way into my timeline.
He has a humiliation fetish, just by the way, like of posting tweets.
Well, you know,
and
nothing he tweeted, I believe, was inaccurate. No. So I want to start there. I believe he's absolutely correct when he tweeted, "The Dodgers have $114 million worth of payroll on the injured list right now, LMAO. Yes, that's the highest in baseball by a lot, and the next highest is $72 million. Astros. Difference between the Dodgers and the Astros is bigger than the difference between second and 16th.
Yeah, why did this ruffle your feathers so much?
Well,
because your feathers don't really get ruffled.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't directed at the Padres or anything, but it just bothered me a little bit that no one really seemed to care all the years where the Dodgers taking advantage of other teams' injuries and, you know, having fairly healthy seasons. And now, all of a sudden, that the shoe is on the other foot here, they're looking for sympathy because none was offered to other teams.
Especially us.
When, you know,
when we had
Fernando Tatis out for the year and, you know, other players.
I was told multiple times by multiple Dodger fans that excuses happen, and if you have organizational depth, then they shouldn't be an issue, and they develop players, we don't, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. When we got to the playoffs, Benny, we had no pitching. No, it's not an excuse. You know, play better, right? And listen, that is the way of baseball. I'm not going to make excuses using injuries. I mean, obviously they add up, but I've been told for years what a perfectly run organization it is and how much depth they have, and it's starting to bite them a little bit.
But context is also important, so I just wanted to add a little context.
You like adding context.
I did. So I tweeted back, well, you know, Padres have over $50 million on the injured list right now. Maybe not as much as the Dodgers, but that's a lot, including the restricted list now with you being transferred over. And it just about 3 weeks ago, it was $75 million when Xander Bogaerts was out. And that's actually a much higher percentage of their payroll than the Dodgers' payroll. So while $114 million sounds like a lot and is a lot, according to Baseball Reference, the current Dodger payroll right now, $387
million.
Which means that's like between a quarter and a third of the payroll, whereas the Padres at this moment have almost a third of the payroll. And that's before Xander was out. When he was out, they had more than a third of their payroll on the injured list. So, you know, there are a lot of teams. And the Braves have, you know, a ton of talent on the payroll. It's not even on the injured list. It doesn't even necessarily matter who's on the injured list. How much talent do you have on the injured list? And clearly, Mookie Betts is a big loss.
Sure, huge.
And has been for the Dodgers most of this season. And, you know, having some of their pitchers like Yamamoto on the injured list is big. But the Braves, you know, they're Spencer Strider and Ronald Acuna Jr. and Ozzie Albies. I mean, you could say that. The Padres, obviously, Fernando Tatis Jr., Joe Musgrove, Yu Darvish, all on the injured list.
Man.
There are
big.
Lots of teams that have lots of star players. The Astros have dealt with a ton of injuries, as they pointed out. Much higher percentage of their payroll is on the injured list than the Dodgers' injured list.
The defending World Series champion, Texas Rangers. I mean, yeah, look, there's really no excuse. And again, you can't tout how smart and great your development is and how lush and talented all your prospects are if, you know, you're really struggling to win baseball games. I mean, they've basically been a 500 team for a couple of months now. So, listen, you got to take advantage when a team is if there's blood in the water, you got to strike.
Of course, they pushed back on semantics. They said, "Well, I mean, 50 is still way less, and you can't count Xander because he's back now." I mean, you know, should we count Freddie Freeman for the a few days he missed while he was tending to his son? And I said,
"Do whatever you want.
I don't really care."
Yeah.
And I conceded. I said, "I'm happy to award the Dodgers the trophy for most injured team if that's what you're going
for." Look at you. I like this.
So, congratulations to the 2024 Los Angeles Dodgers.
The most injured.
The most injured team in baseball. We will tip our cap to you for that designation this year.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Now, I listen. Now, you got to be careful. They're going to start sending you hate mail that look like kidnap letters, which I've gotten three of so far.
But no, they definitely have been dealing with a lot of injuries.
Yes.
They are getting a little healthier.
Yeah, I mean, Mookie's also supposed to come back.
And yeah, they're also finding that sometimes when those guys come back, especially the pitchers, it's not really the same,
yeah,
at least right away, that they need more than just a start or two to be locked in. Kershaw was better his next start after the Padres kind of got to him. Looked a little bit better the next time out. I don't know exactly where he is. I wouldn't be counting on huge things from Clayton Kershaw the rest of the year.
You know, and I watch a little bit of the games. Like I watched some of the Dodgers-Phillies game the other night because I needed to sleep and Joe Davis was on. So I watched some of that. But yeah, man, I'm just kind of really focused on what the Pods are doing, because if they keep winning ball games, I mean, there's a real chance that, you know, they're nervous, man, and they should be. 2.5 games back, nobody thought the Pods would be this close, and nobody thought the Dodgers would be a .500 team, you know, in the last few months. So keep doing what you're doing, everybody.
So now the Dodgers play the Pirates for the next three games, and the pressure's kind of on because they know the Padres just swept the Pirates. So you feel like, well, now we got to sweep the Pirates if we want to keep pace. But, of course, you know, it worked out pretty well. They get Mitch Keller, 10-game winner tonight against the Pirates, against Jack Flaherty, and then Skeens will pitch tomorrow against River Ryan in game two of that series.
That's appointment viewing,
you know,
I'd say.
And things worked out pretty well for the Padres in terms of these matchups, which means if Skeens is pitching on Saturday, then he won't be able to pitch until at least Thursday of next week after the Pirates have already left San Diego. So Padres will miss him twice, both of the series against the Pirates, no Paul Skeens.
Well, you need a little luck, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, as much as I'd like to see Paul Skeens pitch, and I'd love to see how, you know, he strikes out a lot of guys. We don't strike out a ton. I like that kind of battle. But, yeah, man, any chance you take to miss a guy like that, you're fine with it.
I think at the start of the week, the Padres were 4.5 games back. You were still on vacation, and I said, if you want to win the division, this is a week where you have to make up at least a couple of games. I want to see a, you know, 2.5 back by the end of the week. Well, they're already 2.5 back. And now you've got the Miami Marlins, an opportunity to continue your run. And we'll see what the Dodgers do against the Pirates and against Skeens and against Keller tonight. But there's the chance you could pick up another game or maybe even two this weekend if things break really well. And if you do that, then it's basically a coin flip race the rest of the way.
Now, I'm telling you guys, Padre fans right now, think about this. Everyone is clamoring for Jackson Merrill to win Rookie of the Year. But you still want Paul Skeens to go out and be absolutely dominant against the Dodgers. So, yeah, you're up against it a little bit there. Well, I personally would like to see Skeens shove against the Dodgers. That's what I'm putting my vote in for. I don't care really about the Rookie of the Year because I want to see this team do something
again,
special.
You don't care about it as well, but just if you, now that the Pirates are two games under .500 and falling out of the race, there's a good argument to be made that when you get to September, you're going to shut down Skeens.
Yeah,
if you're
100%
out of the race, and that is going to have a big impact. If Jackson Merrill is pushing in a pennant race and helping the Padres toward the playoffs or a division title and has a decent September while Skeens is just sitting there, you know, protecting his arm for 2025, that'll swing a lot of voters Jackson Merrill's way. If they had the vote right now, I think Skeens would probably still win. But they don't vote now. There's still a month and a half left of the season, and we may not see Skeens more than three or four more times. If the Pirates are going to be conservative and they're out of it, why would you throw him?
No reason.
That many innings. There's no reason to do that, but it could impact the Rookie of the Year race. So while I was on social media yesterday and seeing all these Dodgers tweets, right in the middle of all my notices, I was surprised to see a familiar face. Does anyone remember Steve in Coronado? Music teacher Steve, who had put together another video. And he is not giving up on his personal quest.
I thought it was the same video, so I had to check the date on the tweet. Then I had to go, because I really don't even know what date. I had to go look at my phone to make sure that was actually yesterday's date. And it happened again. You got another tweet. I don't know if I think I love my family as much as Steve in Coronado likes the bunt.
Hi, this message is directed to Mike Schilt and AJ Preller. Hi, my name is Steven Bruce. I want to address a weakness the Padres have, even though they're getting better and starting to get past this weakness, but it's a weakness the league teams have. It's the ability to lay down a bunt, especially a suicide squeeze with a runner at third base with less than two outs to drive in the winning run or a crucial run in a playoff game and or the World Series.
Right.
I believe if the Padres adapt this measure, this skill that I'll explain, they will be in the World Series this year in 2024 and win the World Series in 2024. Now, so this is what the Padres need to do to shore up this weakness. Every day, each batter gets into the batting cage with the pitching machine and is graded on 10 pitches. To make it easy, one day could be 10 102-mile-an-hour fastballs. The next day, it could be curveball. And they're graded on these 10 pitches per day, and those grades are simulated with trends and sent to Mike Schilt. So, Mike, you will have that chart every day in the dugout, and when the timing is right, you can call that suicide squeeze and win a crucial playoff game and or the World Series. This skill can be developed within 6 weeks if the Padres get started on it by mid-August.
Okay, we've heard this argument before from Steve, and he's very passionate about the bunting.
I feel like we bunt a lot.
Well, we do, and I pointed out to him that the Padres now lead all of Major League Baseball in bunt singles and are second only to the Diamondbacks in sacrifice bunts this year. And if I'm not mistaken, Major League Baseball is the highest level of baseball in which you're facing the toughest pitchers with the nastiest stuff, who throw the hardest, who have the most break on their pitches. So if you're bunting at the highest level of any team in Major League Baseball, that already makes you the best bunters in the world.
Correct.
Correct?
Correct.
So the Padres are the best bunters in the world. Is it possible, Steve, that they are already doing something correctly here?
Now, I think what would make him feel better is that if he could see the grades posted every day, like, oh, crony, monster day in the bunt challenge, A-plus across the board, Manny, not such a good day, he's in the red. But I don't know, man. I think they're bunting a ton, and sometimes
and
it works. And yeah, I mean, the bunt singles.
Bryce Johnson, Tyler Wade, Larai's got one down recently. I mean, they have good bunters on this team.
Yeah.
Maybe too good.
Correct. Sometimes it does feel like, oh, wow, somebody is not wanting to hit right now and wanting to move guys over.
Jackson Merrill laid one down on this trip.
Hated that one. Hated it. Absolutely hated it. Loathed it every second of it. I love the safety squeeze. They've employed it a couple times this year. Safety squeeze is almost...
Did it to Clayton Kershaw, which, by the way, could have been an out at home plate if he not boxed it.
Dude. But a well-executed safety squeeze, bro, it's indefensible. Like, there's nothing you can do to defend it. So I like where his head's at, but I don't know that they could do any more, right? I think they're doing enough. I think they're doing too much, but I think that they're doing it enough right now, but he's still not satisfied. And apparently I didn't see this, but he's sending it now to the players, and he's tagging players in it. So I did not see this yet, but, you know, look, I love the three-run homer. I don't mind the bunt for a hit. I don't really like giving up outs early in a game. In the second inning, your three-hole hitter drops a bunt down. It doesn't really do it for me when you have a chance to put a pitcher on the ropes and have a big inning. But
I think
each their own.
It's almost getting predictable. Like first and third, one out, and Bryce Johnson comes up.
You know it's coming.
I know it's coming.
Yeah.
So at some point, the other team is also going to figure out that the bunt is coming.
It's kind of weird that they haven't.
It makes it less effective. Yeah, it's like when I used to go to Chargers games and it was second and one and I'd yell, here comes the handoff to Lorenzo Neal.
Right.
Because they do that every time it's second and one. I could stop that play because I know exactly it's coming. You do enough scouting on the Padres, you know when the bunts are coming, right? You've got an instinct as a fan watching. Oh, they're bunting here, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
100%.
I get it too. That's why I feel like the opponents are going to start figuring it out as well.
Yeah.
And then it becomes really ineffective because, you know what? Major League Baseball defenders are usually really good, too.
Now, so many people have said, please play this for Mike Schilt. There's no way that I'm playing that for Mike Schilt. If somebody...
Well, especially on his birthday.
If somebody in PR wants to send, you know, show it to him, I'm not going to be the one to say, hey, Skip, you got... a minute and a half here to hear what you should be doing better? No, I'm not doing that. Sorry. I don't know that he would get the bid.
By the way, Mike Schilt, pretty detail-oriented.
Yes.
Takes his craft of getting his team ready fairly seriously.
Very seriously.
I'm sure he has a method for making sure that if they need to get a bunt down, that they've been practicing it from spring training. And I bet he's confident in his teaching methods as well.
Do you want to ask him?
No. No, I do not want to ask him.
I don't either. I really don't. Do you think that's the last video you'll get this season?
I thought the last video was the last video I was going to get this season.
Yeah. All right.
He even acknowledged, yeah, you're doing better on bunting.
Yeah, better.
Well, why don't you just then say, good job.
Good job. Things are
well done.
Keep it up. Right.
Exactly.
He's never satisfied, man. Never satisfied.
We'll come back with Jake Mintz, Espada's Family Barbecue, next here on 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.